Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Head out now, though, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Friend of the show, Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, our guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dennis, how you doing?
What's up? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy bowl season as well to you. Yeah. Hey, we were having some fun campaigning, the four of us, for the Tennessee job. If you just heard these titles, who would you want as your the head coach for Tennessee? Rick is on the We Need to Win ticket. John, that would be me, on the I Know Football ticket. Paul is the I'm the Only Adult in the Room ticket. And Mark went with Make Fans Great Again ticket. Who would you vote for out of that group?
I'd vote for anyone who keeps derogatory language off the rock. How about that?
It's a good one.
You have to pass the rock. How about that?
All right.
That rock is so stupid.
And
right now, Dennis, you know what I would paint on the rock? I would paint, Dennis Dodd is your winner for earliest New Year's salutation of all time. I don't believe anybody in the history of the holiday season has said Happy New Year on December 5th. So congratulations, Dennis.
It's coming up on it. That's right.
All right, let's talk some football. The committee comes out with their four. Alabama gets in. First time two SEC teams or two teams from any conference have made it in. Dennis, did they get it right?
Yeah, I thought they did. I wrote Sunday that it could not be a credible playoff without Alabama. In other words, if you look at the two, I hate to say this, resumes, Alabama's is mostly a steady heartbeat. Ohio State's is up and down. You know, there's cardiac arrhythmia there, if you use a bad analogy. The 31-point loss to Iowa, they got worked in their own stadium by Oklahoma. And, yeah, Alabama was sitting on the couch when they got in on Sunday. They didn't have to play, but you know what? Same as Ohio State last year when they got in ahead of Big Ten champion Penn State. Having watched both all year, I thought Alabama was a better team and was a more credible team to challenge for the national championship. So I have no problem with it.
Dennis Dodd joining us here, the Midday Show with Rick and John, kicking off our college football hour in style. Coming up next, we're going to talk Heisman finalists. We're going to give you our top tens that we submitted to 92.9 The Game for our aggregate rankings. Dennis, there is a situation now with Oklahoma that could become controversial, distracting. This woman files a protective order against Oklahoma running back slash sensation Rodney Anderson. What do you know about this, and could it impact the semifinal game?
Well, her name is out there, and I hope no media outlets use it, but her name is on a complaint that she's filed a protective order against Rodney Anderson, their best running back at Oklahoma, claiming she's a victim of rape. Look, there's a long way to go in this thing. It does follow a familiar pattern, though. She says in the complaint that she filed this action because she was afraid of running into this person on campus and feared for her safety. If you read the book Violated by Baylor, this comes up over and over and over again. I should say that Rodney Anderson's attorney categorically denies any wrongdoing took place. So I think to predict anything right now would be a little bit premature.
Dennis, I want to go back to the Final Four with what the committee put down. 2 years in a row now, we've had a conference champion get left out for a non-division winning team. I know what you're saying with the eye test with Alabama. I agree that Bama was the better team this year. Do they need to set, meaning the committee, a criteria where we can kind of know what the tiebreaker is going to be? Or do they want to keep it like this where it's just all up for debate?
I don't think so, because when you've got Alabama at number five and they don't play and get up to number four, do you want there to be a rule against that? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think TCU would – I think TCU would like a rule. They were number three in 2014 and won by 52 and dropped to number six after Ohio State beat Wisconsin in the championship game 59-0. So Ohio State is – gotten more than fair treatment in the system, let's be honest, over the last 4 years. But I think the whole idea of the committee is not to be backed into a corner and say absolutes. I think the only absolute in the language of the criteria they use was that team that isn't the conference champion has to be, quote, unequivocally better than the other teams that challenge it to get in. Now, I would argue that Alabama wasn't unequivocally better than Ohio State. I think we can have that discussion, but even that is a semantic discussion. What does unequivocally mean? You know, they didn't lose by 31 to a team comparable to Iowa. Well, yeah, that's unequivocally.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Check out his work and follow him on Twitter, please. Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Dennis, you look at the committee's rankings that came out at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and conference championships don't mean anything. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think what the committee is telling us is that don't suffer a blowout loss, Penn State to Michigan, Ohio State to Iowa. So I think it's more about, hey, man, don't suffer that blowout loss. I think that is more important to the committee than these conference championships.
Well, in this particular case, also, you know, the committee itself, this is why Alabama's more credible. They're the ones who had Alabama 1 or 2 for most of the ranking period, and Alabama was 1 or 2 for most of the season by anybody who watched college football and voted on it. So at the end, you know, you're saying a 12-point loss on the road to a top, what was that, 17 at the time in a rivalry game is enough to knock you out from number one to number five, or number one to out of the top four, then yeah, that happens. But I think at the end, look, they tell us every week, and I keep telling people this, they can do whatever they want. That's what this whole thing is about. Again, Ohio State, you know, manhandled Wisconsin, 27-21, having you to go right down to the wire with that. You know, do something similar to what you did in 2014. Let's not forget that in 2014, Wisconsin was a 3-point favorite in the Big Ten championship game, and Ohio State won 59-0. I believe Ohio State was a 6.5-point favorite, so they didn't even cover. Not that that should enter the mind of the committee, but I think a bigger victory margin would have gone a long way for Ohio State.
Dennis, even though we're sitting and dissecting what they did, I think the matchups in the semifinals are fantastic. You get the rematch of the national championship game the last 2 years, and then you get Georgia and Oklahoma, which should be a lot of fun. If you could choose one or the other, which one do you think has the better opportunity for high entertainment value?
Well, obviously Alabama, Clemson 3 is the one that people want to see. This is going to be the best out of three now. They've met 3 years in a row in the playoffs. For name brand value, that's going to be the one that gets the most attention. But I think one of the overriding themes or stories of this playoff is that Oklahoma offense, which is generational with Baker Mayfield. Let's see what happens when it runs up against an elite defense. I don't know if Georgia is an elite defense. It might be, but I do know the winner of that other semifinal definitely has an elite defense, and I want to see that as a fan, as a college football fan. I want to see how that offense for Oklahoma, that basically hasn't been stopped this year, goes against one of those teams. I think that's one of the overriding storylines coming in.
Dennis, you know, we all know college football in this conversation. You certainly know more than I do in terms of all the years you've covered it and all the hours you put in. But I know what I'm talking about, too. This Georgia defense, to me, is elite, and I believe that they will prove that to you. And let me give you this theory, Dennis. I think Georgia's going to beat Oklahoma, and I believe that the Georgia defense will be able to limit or contain Mayfield in that offense better than OU's cruddy defense will be able to limit the Georgia offense. Are you with that thinking?
It'll be the best defense they've faced this year, I'll say that. And that includes Ohio State, which they scored 31 points on in September. So, yeah, it will be. I just think that it's so good that the Big 12 does a bad job of controlling its message. You know, we all hear about, 62-52 against Oklahoma State. That's a joke. Well, let's talk about how they have the best offenses, or Oklahoma has the best offense in the country. Let's see how that matches up. I mean, this will be a culture war. You know, good old Southern defensive run the ball football against a guy running around back there, Johnny Manziel-like, kind of hot-headed guy with weapons at his fingertips. Let's see, on a neutral field out west, you know, let's see how that works out. I'm not saying who will win. I'm just fascinated. I get to see it.
Dennis, I was at the ACC championship game on Saturday, and Clemson, that defensive front is as good as anybody I've seen in a long time in college football. Can they control Alabama's running game and make it a Jalen Hurts game?
I think that's the key to the game. Look, I saw them play, probably you saw them play their best defensive game. I probably saw them play their second best defensive game, although the Auburn game was really good, 11 sacks. I forgot about that. Against Virginia Tech. They won 31-17, but it wasn't even that close. I think that's the key to the whole thing. Can Alabama, that goes five deep at running back, five players that can start for anybody, can they control the ball against this defensive front and this defense? I think Clemson has three All-Americans on that defense right now. I think they'll be rewarded for that. But that's the whole thing. You know, Auburn controlled it. They did a great job. Jalen Hurts is the key to the whole thing. I think he's the most improved player on that team this year. Alabama is going to have, I think, those injured defensive players back. So that's on the other side of the ball, which makes a difference. But you would have to think, and I think Alabama, the fascinating thing to me, Alabama's a one-point favorite. What is it on the other side? Is it Georgia 1.5? I forgot.
I got to be honest with you. I'm just trying to catch up to John in our six-pack of picks game against the spread. So I'm focused on this week in the NFL. I have not looked out that far. And Dennis, look, later on in the show, as you're off doing more important things, we're going to be talking with our great listeners here about, you know, outside of the Final Four, what is that one bowl game that you cannot miss? Have you surveyed the bowl schedule and kind of pinpointed that one game outside of the Final Four that you're like, oh, yeah, I have to watch that one?
Yeah, I haven't yet. I think the one I want to see is right now is maybe Wisconsin and Miami, and not Wisconsin, Miami, Miami and the Orange Bowl. Is it Wisconsin?
Yeah, it is Wisconsin.
Yeah, it is Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget what their entry requirements are, but Wisconsin playing Miami at home in the heat in January, a great reward for a great season. I thought Miami, you know, figured just outside of the top four and lost twice late. I think they're a very, very good team. I think it'll be a celebration of football then down there, much like it was against Notre Dame that night in November.
What's next for Florida State? Jimbo Fisher moved on. I've heard the name Willie Taggart. Do you think he ends up taking the job there?
It looks like it's trending that way now. I think he's torn. I talked to one of his inner circle on Saturday. And he really is torn. Oregon's going to be really good next year with the guys he's got coming back. Justin Herbert, the injured quarterback, is maybe the best quarterback in the Pac-12 next year if Sam Darnold leaves. But he's really torn about that, you know, leaving a team after 1 year. You have to understand, though, this is a guy who's 47-50 in his career. He's an under 500 coach. He's kind of overachieved at the places he's been. He hasn't turned around Oregon, and don't forget, he oversaw a strength staff that sent three players to the hospital in February. I think a lot of people forget that at Oregon, so we'll see.
Not you, not the comprehensive Dennis Dodd. He sees all, he knows all, and he's on with Rick and John here. Talk about Gus Malzahn here for us, Dennis, and give us the latest. Is he going to be the Arkansas head coach?
No, he agreed to a new deal at Auburn on Sunday. He kind of put that to bed. Actually, he did put that to bed. He was a guy who just wanted to be loved. You know, he wanted to be at Auburn, but he wanted to get rid of the, you know, he wakes up every day and doesn't know which way the wind's blowing. You know, I was told had he lost to Alabama in the Iron Bowl, he was out of there, which is ridiculous after what he's done. You know, had he, you know, they lost to Georgia, and there was some rankling over how he finished the season. But when Arkansas came into the picture and was willing to back up the truck, $7 million for $50 million, Auburn basically matched that and gave him some promises, I guess, facility-wise, that things were going to improve in the future. And that's enough for him because Auburn's a vastly better job than Arkansas. Arkansas provides, comfort because you can go 8-4 there the rest of your career and nobody's going to bother you. At Auburn, you better not go 8-4 and lose to Alabama because you're going to be in trouble. But, you know, $7 million plus per year kind of sees that.
Never heard somebody say a job provides comfort to go 8-4, but I love the honesty, Dennis.
Yeah.
And you're spot on with that. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Dennis.
Bowl season. And Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll get to Christmas first. about that?
Let's do Love that. Dennis Dodd, our guest on the WadeFord.com
hotline. Howdy New Year!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.